Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 6 lines from the top of Daf Chof. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, Havoras Kumus Al Get Shenichtav Sheloi Lishmo. Imagine a divorce document that was written lacking the specific intention. Even though the proper names were in the get, nevertheless, the writer of the get did not have that particular couple in mind. So it was lacking lishma. Does it help to trace over the get with lishma intention? Machloikis Rav Chisda Rav Acher Bar Yankiv im kosher l'chol hadeis Rav Yehuda v'chachamim morak alibo de Rav Yehuda. Would this solution be acceptable according to all opinions, or maybe only according to Rabbi Yehuda, that we'll see in the Gemara? The Gemara. We open with a long point, and then notice after the point, the Gemara then is doiche, this is a dechia. The Gemara, Amar Avchista, get shekosvei shelo lishma, a get that was written lacking specific intention. Vehevir olav kumus lishma, and then kumus is a quill, then it was traced over with proper intention. Bonu lemachloikis rebuta v'rabonan. This brings us into a controversy. In other words, the solution will be effective, but not according to everybody. Disanya. Here we have a Tanaic source that doesn't deal with the writing of a get, but it deals with the writing of a Sefer Torah, and in a Sefer Torah, the name of the Almighty appears, and when writing the name of the Almighty, one is supposed to have kavona. He's supposed to have intent, concentration. Hare shoyotzorech lichtoiv es Hashem. He was writing a Sefer Torah, and he got to a point where he would need to write the name of the Almighty. And when he got to that point, v'niskavein lichtoiv Yehuda, he thought in his mind that he's going to write the name Yehuda. Now, you'll notice that that name, Yehuda, has in it the name of the Almighty, plus a Dalet. So when he was writing, he needed to write the Almighty's name, but he intended at that moment to write the name Yehuda. V'to v'lohitil boi Dalet. And he made a mistake in terms of his own thinking, but he actually did the right thing by way of action. He wrote, but left out the Dalet. So in effect, he wrote what needs to be written, but it was written without proper intention. It was lacking the concentration or awareness of writing the name of Hashem. In his mind, he was writing Yehuda, and he simply left out the Dalet. Is there a solution? Mavir olav kumus umekatsha divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, just trace over the letters that you wrote in actuality, and while tracing over them, you have the intention of the name of Hashem. V'chachomim omrim ein Hashem in amuvcha. The Chum say, no, that's not effective. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, mavir olav kumus, tracing over the mekatsha and thereby sanctifying the name, that's effective. The Chum say it's not a choice name. It's not done properly. Omar Rav Acha Bar Yankiv. Rav Acha says that just because the Chum disagree with Rav Yehuda there in the case of writing the name of Hashem, that doesn't mean that he'll disagree with this as a solution in the case of a divorce document. which doesn't involve the name of Hashem. It involves the name of the couple getting divorced. Dilma lohi. Maybe it's not so to say that the traceover solution is a machloikis. Ad kan lo kamer rabbanan hasam. Up till now, the rabbanan are said to, let's say, object to that as a solution only over there by the name of Hashem. Ela deboino ze keli vian behu veleka. In writing the name of Hashem, which is part of the din, the halach of writing a sefer Torah, there's a special requirement of ze keli van vehu. And Rashi explains his snoil the fun of b'mitzvahs, that when you're preparing an item that's associated with fulfillment of a mitzvah, like a sefer Torah or tzitzis or tefillin or a bris milah, there you're supposed to do things in the choice in the best way possible. And if you don't do it in the best way possible, that constitutes a lacking. Avol hacha, but in writing a get, lo, that standard doesn't apply. So the Rabbanan would agree that the tracing over with the lishma intention is a sufficient way of imposing upon the get the lishma requirement. What's interesting to note is that in our previous shiur, we discussed the issue of ksav al gabi ksav, a second writing upon a first writing. That second writing, as far as Hilchus Shabbos is concerned, if it's the same ink that you're using, tracing over previous writing, that's not considered a Shabbos violation. So it would lead you to think that it's not considered a writing at all. Nevertheless, for the purpose of Lishma, you see in this sugya that is sufficient. We're not dealing with the basic writing per se, but we're dealing with imposing or the insertion of this, we'll say, abstract quality known as lishma. This, of course, is something that one could discuss at much greater length on another occasion. We continue with a new discussion. On the side, we have a nosei / Mivneh heading, the topic heading combined with a structural note. Triangles will appear in two directions. And we've written on the side that these are Hatzo'is, these are suggestions, Lahasbir Divrei Rav Chisda, to explain what Rav Chisda will tell us in the Gemara, Shiyochol Lifsol Kol HaGittin. Rav Chisda says, it's within my power to declare all Gittin invalid. And at each point that the suggested explanation of that strange comment is, there is then a rejection, and that's the inverted triangle, the difiyosan. So now the Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda, Yachilno lemifsalinu lekule gita d'alma. I could, in theory, declare invalid all kitten. Amar le Rava, my taimo. So Rav asks, what's the basis for thinking that, for saying that? Ilemo mishum dechsiv. V'kosav, the pasuk says, V'kosav lo sefer krisus, and the word V'kosav means he, the husband, shall write the get. Now, in practice, V'ocha ihi kokosvole, literally means she is writing it. It doesn't mean that she's writing the get, but rather she is paying the scribe, as the Gemara says, that it's to the benefit of womankind to have them, the women, pay for the get to be written. As far as why that is, what's the benefit, why did the Chachomim institute that as a practice, that's discussed in Maseches Bava Basra. But for our purposes, the Pasuk on the one hand says he must, it's the husband's obligation to provide the get when it comes to that. And in reality, she is the one that's paying for the get. That's not necessarily the reason for disqualifying all gittin. V'dilmo aknuye aknu le rabbanon. It could be that the money that she is paying the scribe through the power of the courts that in which the Torah granted them control over all money matters. And we call that Hefker Beisdin Hoya Hefker. The Rabbanon could, in fact, declare that the money that she is paying, the sofer, is really viewed as his money. So the husband is paying for the get. It's a fulfillment of a kosav law. So what did the Rav Chisda say? What did he mean when he said, I can disqualify all, declare invalid all gittin? V'yelo mishum dichti v'no san v'ocho lo yoiv lo midi. The Pasuk says, as we said, the Kosav law sefer krisus, v'nosan law. V'nosan law biyoda. Here, Rashi says, v'nosan bar nesina, something that has value. Sheish shoveh pruta, something that has, that's worth something. Well, in this case, so it's fine that the Chachamim declared it in his money that's being used, but nevertheless, when he gives it to her, it's not something that has any value per se to him. The Gemara says, who says that that's what the Pasuk means when it says Vinosan, that he has to give her something of value? Dilma Nesinas Geti, maybe it's simply a reference to his giving her the get, the physical handing of it to her. Teida de shochu mitam. To prove this, we note the halacha that was sent from Eretz Yisrael. Kosfal yisur hano kosher. If a get is written on material that is prohibited for one to benefit from. And he writes it on that kind of material. Isure hano. And he gives her that as the get. She's divorced. So what do we see? That vinosan means the giving of the get. It doesn't mean something that has value. So as far as the structure of this Gemara is concerned, Rav Chisda said, I can disqualify all gittin of the world, but what did he mean by that? We don't seem to have a conclusion. Kufa shochu mitom. Kufa is a quote from that which was mentioned in passing before. Here we focus on it. That which was sent from there, that namely from Eretz Yisrael, Kosvay al Isu Rehano Kosher, a get that's written on material that one is otherwise prohibited to benefit from, the get is legitimate. Omar Ravashi Af Ananami Tanino. Ravashi says our Mishnah also indicates that thusly. This is a reference to the Mishnah on Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, Al Ha'ola Shel Zayas, get written on an olive leaf is kosher. Now it's assumed that an olive leaf is something that has no value, and that is what you have in common with Isurei Hanoah. The Gemara says this isn't a proof to what was Shalchu Mitam. Dilma Shiny Ola Shel Zayas. The olive leaf is different, the chazi litzrufi. It's fit to join up with other olive leaves. And if you have a whole pile of olive leaves, that is something that has value. For what? You can use it as a mattress, you can feed animals with it. So even though a singular olive leaf doesn't have value, it nevertheless has, we'll say, potential value insofar as being used to join up with others, to collect many more of them. Not so with the case of Isurei Hanoah, something that one is prohibited to benefit from. Tanya, Rebbe, Omer, Kosvoy al Isurei Hanoah Kosher. We have a brisa in which Rebbe rules that writing on Isurei Hanoah is acceptable. Nofak Levi, Dorsho Mishmei de Rebbe. Levi, who was a contemporary of Rebbe, slightly younger, we'll say, he went and taught this in public in the name of Rebbe. Velo Kosua, and he wasn't praised. Why? Because he taught it in the name of a single opinion. What happened later? Mishmei de Rabim v'Kosua. He then taught this not as a teaching of Rebbe, but rather as a teaching of the many. Rashi says, Darsha Zimna Achriti, on another occasion, he said it in the name of Mishmei Derabim, Ki Hechi Delik Belu Amine, so that it would be received, it would be accepted by the public. So the initial teaching of it in the name of Rebbe wasn't well received because it was halacha presented in the name of a single opinion. However, when he taught it over in the name of the Rabbim, the name of the many, then the kalsua, it was praised, it was well received. Alma, you see from here, Hilchos Kavosei, from the Rashi says, Alma miditorach kulehai delik belua, from the fact that Levi went out of his way so that it would be accepted, Alma Hilchos Kavosei shows that that is the final ruling, that's the accepted halacha. Writing, therefore, on Isur Hana is acceptable when it comes to writing a get. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Chakika. Chakika is to etch out. I nechshav kiksav oiloi is etching out or carving out the get text. Is that tantamount to writing? Tonu Rabbanan. We have a marking scheme, the Aleph and Beis. You'll see highlights Tanaic sources that are presented as contradicting one another. You'll see a little bit later, the Gemara raises a Viraminu. Tonu Rabbanan. V'kosav, the Pasuk said, we mentioned this Pasuk earlier, V'kosav lo sefer krisus. And from the word v'kosav, which means to write, we understand v'lo chokak, not carving out. Well, the Gemara asks, l'meimra de chakiko lav ksivahi. Are you suggesting that that chakika is not considered a writing? V'raminu, we have a Tanaic source that would say to the contrary. Eved shiyotza biksav shalgabi tavlo pinkis, a slave that was set free through a writing, biksav, and now Rashi has a girsa, biksav shekhokak agabi tavlo. Tavlo is a tablet. It's a hard piece of material that one would write things through, etching out on them, etching out letters. So an eved who received a get cherus, a shtar shichrur, a document of release from servitude, and it was carved out on a tablet, or pinkus, same idea, carved out on a pinkus, also hard material. Yetzei lecherus, he goes free. Avolo b'ksav shalgabi kipa ve'andukhturi. Here we'll look at Rashi. Rashi that we're looking at is about halfway down. V'lo b'ksav shalgabi kipo ke'ein kova shel tzemer, a type of woolen hat. V'noisnus anoshim tachas soif kishurehen. K'namrinu b'me'a isha yoytzim asecha Shabbos. It describes how women would wear this thing that's called kipo. Anduchteri, Rashi says, tachshit, a type of ornament, v'roikmin olav tsuros b'machat, ke'ein brushtir belaz, a French word sounding a little bit like embroidery, and that's what rikma is, to embroider shapes on material. V'imrokmo yalein oisyeis haget, ein oiksav, if the letters of a get were embroidered onto this this clothing gear, it wouldn't constitute a writing. The fish she'eno kosuv v'kovua ela mutal al habeged u'shnei roshav tovin. It's not written on the garment, rather it's threads that are lying upon the garment with its two ends woven in, it were inserted into the host material. So what do we see in this source, though? We see in the Reisha that carved out or etched out writing is legitimate. It's a means, it's considered writing. The laws of an Eved going free are compared through a Gzeira Shava to the laws of Get Isha. Omar Ula. Omar Rav Elazar Lo Kashya. These sources are not contradictory. The first source indicating that etching out is not acceptable. The second source says etching out is considered writing. Ha dechok teichos, ha dechok yerechos. Let's start with the base. Chok yerechos. Yerechos literally are the thighs, but we're dealing with the letters themselves. When you want to, let's say, form a letter, you can carve out the shape of the letter itself, or you can carve around the letter, the interior of the letter and the exterior of the letter, leaving the letters themselves in relief, so that you've carved away the materials, the material, if it's you're carving, let's say, on a piece of wood, you carve away the wood that constitutes the interior of the letter and the wood surrounding the letter that you're forming. The letter itself, you didn't touch, so to speak. You carved all around it, and once you remove the surrounding material and the interior material, you're left with a letter. You're left with a letter that's in relief, that's embossed. But you didn't carve the main point here, and that's what chok tochos means, you didn't deal with the letter itself. And that's why in Aleph, chokak is disqualified. In Beis, where you carved out the letter itself, that's kosher. We take a look at Rashi. Ha dechok tochos shalosios, the interior of the letter, v'tzidei, and the surrounding next to them, the material surrounding them, v'osios boltos, leaving the letters bolet. Bolet means standing out. It's in relief, like a, if you're familiar with the term, a relief map. Those are maps that show physically the mountains and high ground that is being featured in that map. That, if you do that, if you carve away the interior and the exterior of the letter without carving the letter itself, leaving the letter in relief, enoksav lefishalot sirsa oisios, you didn't form the letters, elochokak sigosein, you rather carved out around the letters and the interior of the letters, voetz nishar kemoshaya, the wood, if you're carving on wood, that forms the letters remains as it was, kemoshaya bitfus oisios mela, and the formation of the letters themselves happens, so to speak, on its own. In other words, you didn't form the letters. The letters just are a result of that which you did around them. We continue in the Gemara. V'toichos loy v'raminu. Are you saying that if you, let's say, carve around the letters, that's not acceptable? We have the following. This Tanaic source deals with the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. The tzitz was the golden headplate worn by the Kohen Gadol, and on it the words Kodesh Lashem appeared. So there's a appearance of letters that spell the words Kodesh Lashem on the tzitz. What does it say about the formation of the tzitz? Lo hoya kosvoy shokea ilo bolate kedinrei zahav. The writing on the tzitz was not recessed, shokeas to sink in. So it wasn't recessed, but rather it was bolate, it was bulging outwards, like gold coins. Gold coins are reference to coins that are minted coins. The ha din rei zav tochos hein. How are coins formed? They're formed by I think the term is a dye, a mold, and in forming the gold coin, so you take this die, you press on the golden disc, and what happens is that the, let's say if you have an image, George Washington's face on an American quarter, is the what happens is that the area around his face, around his bust or his face, is being pressed down, and the image, the denomination of the coin, the country of the coin, whatever is spelled out on the coin, that remains where it was. It's the area around the letters that are on the coin that is being pushed down. So that's a form of tochos. So v'hal din reizov tochos hein. We can take a look at the Rashi. V'hal din reizov tochos hein. The kosalka daite. The thinking is kishu maki bekunis choisim amatbe al adiner. When you take a hammer and bang on the die that is used to mint the coin, tochos svivas surus choisim shehi shokas veheim maleim doichekim es tochos svivas surus adiner. That when you're banging on the mold or the die, you're in effect pressing down on the disc that will be the coin, and the die itself is the images on the die are themselves recessed. So when you're banging down on it, this area surrounding the letters is being pushed down, and the letters that are formed on the coins rise, so to speak, into the depressions on the mold. But the main point here is, let's continue reading in the Rashi. Svivusur sadinu keneged shkias reishem achosem ein hadinur shozov nidchak umeleo atsura oimenes bimakoma. After you finish banging, so the image that's going to be on the coin, that remains where it originally was. And the area surrounding the letters and constitute the interior of the letters, that was pushed inwards. The Gabi Tzitz Ksivan, the Torah, yet when it comes to Tzitz, it says, Michtav Pituchei Choysom, Amo Ksivahi. The Torah expects Ksiva in the case of the Tzitz. And if the Tzitz production is compared to coin production, what do we know about coin production? You're not carving out the letters themselves. You're pushing down the area surrounding the letters and the numbers that are on the coin, leaving the letters that are eventually formed at the same height, the same level that they were from the beginning. You're having simply pressed down the surrounding area. The Gemara answers that really toichos is not acceptable. You'll ask, but how come the tzitz is compared to din rezov, which is a function of tochos? The Gemara says, kedin rezov a lo kedin rezov. Yes, there's a parallel between the tzitz and the din rezov, but not a total parallel. Kedin rezov the bolet. The tzitz is like din rezov, just like on coins, that which is the forms on the coins, whether it's the image of someone that's on the coin or the letters that are on a coin, they are bolet. They are protruding. They are in relief. However, and that same thing with the tzitz, that when you would, let's say, stand in front of the Kohen Gadol, if you were to touch the tzitz, you would feel the letters protruding outwards. However, the formation of the letters in the tzitz are not the same as in the case of the coins. The lo kedin rezov, in this sense, they're not parallel. The ilu hasam, in the case of the coins, tochos. The coins are formed, like we said. There's a die that's put upon a metal disc, and the die itself has the writing on the image that's gonna result. That all of that is actually recessed, and when you bang on the die, you're in effect pushing away, you're pushing downwards the surrounding and interior of the letters and numbers that would be formed. Haha, in the case of the tzitz preparation, yerechos. And we'll explain by reading the Rashi how the tzitz was made. The ilu haha yerechos, Rashi says, we continue where we left off, second line under the Gemara text. Shoya tzitz dak. First of all, the tzitz was made of, was gold, but it was dak. It was very thin. Kein tas, like a plate of gold. Vitzor ha'oisis me'evor ha'echad v'doifek yirifesim v'boltos me'evor ha'sheni. The letters would be formed on one side, but how are the letters formed? By my, on the reverse side, banging. Remember, the tzitz was a piece of gold, but it was very thin. And you could therefore bang out the letters themselves. You're pushing on one side from the reverse side of where the letters are going to appear. From the reverse side, you're banging out the shapes of the letters. Kamoshim Mitzayim Kesef Zov also the cover Bikli H Shoyisim Emyayin. Rashi gives it an example. Something was common there of pieces of gold and silver that were decorative, that were attached to wooden vessels from which they would drink wine. But for our purposes, what's the difference between the tzitz and gold coins? Gold coins really represent tochos. The tzitz, in making the letters, you were actually carving out the letters by pushing on the reverse side the forms of the letters themselves. Not the area surrounding the letters, but the letters themselves. You were pushing outward so that when the tzitz was complete and was put on the Kohen Gadol's head, you would see letters that were embossed, that letters that were in relief. And once again, that's why the process of chakika, of carving out, in the case of the tzitz, is yes considered ksiva, because you're applying your force and your pressure to the letters themselves. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar le Ravina le Rav Ashi. Rushma. Rushma is the chosim of a matbea. It's the die that we were referring to before when you're making a coin. Michratz choretz o kenufi michnaf. It's hard to translate these words without the assistance of Rashi. So we look in Rashi. First of all, Rushma Chosim Matbeah Shekoren uses an interesting word, coins. But it's the die which is used for forming coins. Michratz Choretz Hatoches Sviyus Shel Tzurasa Shishokas Chortzin V'dochin Toches Sviyus Shel Tzurasa Diner Ad She'imedes Tzurasa Diner Boletes Kemo Shehoisa. This is what we explained before, that the form, the die, pushes down the area that would be the interior of the letters and the exterior of the letters, leaving the metal that constitutes the letters at the same height that it originally was. That's why in our Rashi we squiggle in Kamo Shehoisa. In other words, as far as the letters are concerned, you did nothing to the letters. The letters were formed by pushing in the interior and the exterior surrounding the letters. V'naf gemina shim chokak esaget b'choisim v'kosvoy al gabi tas lo have ksav t'tochosu. Imagine you would take a piece of metal and carve into the metal the language of the get. So you would have a get that was written on a die, carved out, and then you would take that unit and put it upon a blank piece of metal and start banging the die upon the get, upon the blank piece of metal. The letters that would be formed would be by virtue of the pressure placed on the metal surrounding the letters. And the letters that would be formed would be there, remaining at the original height that they were from the beginning. All you did was press on the die that contained the carved out letters, and the get would not be acceptable, if that were the description of the Rushma that the Gemara is asking about. O kenufi michnaf. And here Rashi explains that, and this is new. This is a point we didn't see before, and this is exactly what Ravina is asking of Ravashi. Maybe kenufi michnaf. Tsurusa oisius. Kenufi means gathered together, or absorbed within, sucked in. Shehi Let me read that again. Suras hachosim shishokas. The die itself is carved out. It literally sunken in. Kishe tochoseha dochakim es toches shel dinar v'nichnas azov ktsas bedochak besof shkias atzura v'nimtach mitoch dochako v'nichnas letoch atzura. Is it possible that when you are taking the die that has the letters and the numbers and the image that are carved out in the die, and you're banging that on the coin, maybe that causes the metal of that constitutes the coin to be drawn upwards, like sucked into the mold. V'lav memela hein. It's not as if they are being formed in a passive sense, namely by the surrounding area being banged down. Eladei makas akunis etzur atzman im teches l'seicha roshim v'harei kosov biyadayim. It could be then when you're banging on the mold, the image that will eventually appear on the coin is actually drawn upwards into the mold, so that your action has an effect on the letters themselves. And it's the letters aren't simply a passive result of your having banged away on the surrounding and interior of them. So that's Ravino's question. Omar Le, Rav Ashi answers, Michratz Choretz, which is, as we explained before, that's just the Tocho. Nothing happens to the letters themselves. The Gemara asks Eisvei, the same source before concerning the tzitz. It says Lo hoya ksavoy shekeh lebolei. The tzitz writing the Kiddush Lashem words that appear on tzitz were protruding, kedinre zahav, like the minting of coins. The isakadaitich michratz choritz. If you're going to say that the minting of coins is michratz choritz, and the result in letters on the coin are only, let's say, they're a passive result of my having banged away the interior and the exterior. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Yeah, but ha boino michtav veleka. We require by the tzitz ksav. And if it's, you're going to describe the coin making process, which is parallel to the tzitz, as michratz choritz, you don't have any fulfillment of ksav. Ksav demands some kind of action on the letters themselves. The Gemara answers, Kedinre Zahav alo Kedinre Zahav. The parallel between coins and the tzitz is, as we said before, it's a parallel, but a partial parallel, not complete. Kedinre Zahav de Bolet. The tzitz and coins have this in common, that the letters are in relief, they protrude. The lo Kedinre Zahav, but not like the manufacturer of the Din Rezov, the Luhasa Migavoi. In the case of the Matbea, of the coins, it's from, now literally means migavoi, from within. We'll explain this in a minute. The hacha by the tzitz me avroi. Mevroi means from the outside. Very simply. In the case of the coin making, as we've explained already numerous times today, the die is being banged on the coin on the same side of the coin where the letters will result. In the case of the tzitz, it's made for, it's from the reverse side, from the outside. The letters appear on one side. How? Because I was banging away the shape of letters from the other side, pushing the letters outwards, so to speak. And that's why that action, since it was done on the letters themselves, banging from the reverse side, pushing out the letters themselves, that's called ksav. Just as far as the question before regarding using a die and have a get prepared in that fashion by banging the mold on the same side as a metal plate, resulting in a get, that would not be kosher according to our Gemara. Bo mine Rava Mirav Nachman Kosav lo get al tas shelzov. Here we have a new discussion. And that's why you can see there's a slash mark before. This has to do with the giving of the get accomplishing at the same time the woman's receiving of her ksuba. Now the ksuba is a matter of a money payment, a value payment to the woman. How could it be that when you're giving her the divorce document, that would result in her being paid the ksuba at the same time? Well, the answer is very simply from the question that we see here. The get was carved out on a golden plate. Now, the golden plate has quite a bit of value to it. So the woman, she's going to receive the get, and she now has a piece of gold as well. Bo amine, Ravam Rav Nas, Rav asks of Rav Nachman, Kosav lo get al tas shel zov. The husband carved out the letters on a piece of gold, like we described before with the tzitz. He, on the reverse side, he banged out the letters that spell out that contain the contents of a get, his name, her name, the date, the city's names, all that he prepared on this golden plate. The Omar law, and he said to her, "Hiskabli giteich, v'hiskabli ksubasech. Receive here your get and your ksuba. Mahu? What is the din?" Omar lay. So Rav Nachman answered, "Niskabla gita, v'niskabla ksubasa. Yes, she receives her get. She's divorced, and the husband also fulfills his ksuba payment obligation." Esvei. A question is raised. You'll notice it lasts a couple of lines. Hiskabli gitech vashaar luksubosech. Man says, receive your get, and the rest will be as payment for your ksuba. Hiskablo gitech vashaar luksubosech. So the get is received, she's divorced, and the rest, the sha'ar, the balance, the rest, that will suffice or constitute her ksuba. I think it's sufficient to say that even though it wasn't mentioned in the source explicitly, it's a similar case to that which Rav Nachman was addressed before on a piece of gold. So the Gemara infers from here, taimo de'iko sha'ar, the reason the ksuba is considered paid is because besides the get, there's more material, there's shah, there's a balance. Ha leka shah lo. If the plate on which the get was carved out had enough room just for the get, that would not be the payment. And yet, Rav Nachman seemed to indicate that would constitute a payment. The Gemara says, hu hadin afagav de leka shah. The get, if it filled the gold plate and there wasn't any more other than space occupied by the get, that too would constitute her ksuba payment. The ha chomash malon, and what Rav Nachman is telling us, or I should say what the Tanaic source is telling us, ha chomash malon, the moker, the afagav di koshar, even though there is extra, there's besides the get, there's more gold. Yomar law in, if he says, if he specifies that it shall be for her ksuba, then it's considered as if he paid the ksuba. Lo. And if not, if he doesn't specify that, then he's going to have to pay additional money to fulfill his ksuba financial obligation. My time off. Why is that? Why, if he doesn't specify it, does it not constitute the ksuba payment? The reason for that is avira de megiltahu. It's all considered the margins of the basic get. So it's all considered get. And the extra, that's considered the margins of the get. So it would remain an obligation upon him to pay the ksuba, as we said, if he didn't specify that the extra should be her ksuba. We now have a new discussion. On the side, we indicate a nosei topic heading simply by quoting a couple of words from the beginning of the brisa, but they set the tone. Hare ze giteich v'hanyor shali. Here a husband is giving his wife a divorce document, and he says, here's your get, but the paper upon which the get is written remains mine. The Gemara will introduce other cases like that, where we'll say it's a partial giving. Does it work or not? So the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Hareze Giteich Van Yor Shali. He gives her the divorce document and announces, but the paper remains mine. Eino Migureshes. She is not divorced. Rashi says on the second narrow line, Eino Migureshes, to keep on the Yor Shalo, since he's keeping the paper for himself, Lo Nosan Lo Klum. He hasn't given her anything. The result is what it's that the letters are floating in midair, and of course, with that he hasn't given her anything. The Gemara continues. He says to her that here's your get. Almanas shetachziri li eshanior. I'm giving you the get, the entire get with the paper. However, a stipulation. This is your get, provided you give it back to me. Provided you give me back the paper. Hare zu migureshes. That is effective, provided she gives it back to him. This is the topic, the concept of matona almanas lahachzir, a gift given with the stipulation that it's given back. And we're working with the ruling that a gift given, albeit with that stipulation, nevertheless constitutes a gift. It constitutes a full-fledged giving, which is what the Torah demands of a man divorcing his wife. You give her something. Boy Rav Papa, Bain Shita Lashita, Ubain Teva Lateva Mai. Let's say he gives her a get, and he says that the paper between the lines, in other words, the blank space between the lines of writing, or the blank space between the letters, remains mine. What about that? Teku. This is not resolved. The Gemara asks, why do you say it's not resolved? V'tepuk lei de sefer. The pasuk says, "V'kosav lo sefer krisu." Sefer is in the singular form. Now, if you are going to give her a get like that, with this stipulation that she gets the paper on which the letters appear, the writing, in other words, each line of writing, that's hers. But the spaces between the lines, that he gets. So that, you know, that does not become hers. Well, what then, practically speaking, do you have? You have many lines of writing, and your mind's eye are cut out. She gets multiple lines of writing that constitute the get, and the space between them, that remains his. But isn't that a violation of the Torah's requirement of one sefer, one writing, one scroll, so to speak? And here it turns out to be many. The Gemara says no, because lo tzricha demeura. The case involves a get where you have a number of letters that are long letters, that some letters go above the line, some letters go below the line. Imagine a final nun, and underneath the final nun is an open letter, like a tes, so that the leg of the final nun extends downwards into the opening of the tes. Or imagine a lamed that is a tall letter, and the head of the lamed extends into the bottom of an open letter, for example, the letter ches. If you've ever seen cut out paper dolls, you notice how they're all attached, albeit by a hair's breadth of paper, but it's all considered one. So in a get like that we just described, where it's me'ura, where it's intertwined, it's, as we described, the long letters, when you would cut away the lines of blank, the blank lines between the lines of writing, the get that the woman received still would remain attached, attached entity, like in the paper doll analogy, because the area in which the one letter entered the airspace of the other letter, that would not be cut away. Plus, the husband is keeping for himself only the part of the get upon which there is no writing between the lines. So that is the question that Rav Papa raised, and it remained unanswered. As far as trying to answer the question by saying Sefer Echad Amar Rachmana V'lo Shtayim, that is not an objection, or that's not a means of resolving the question, because Rav Papa's question was asked in the context of Me'ura, as we described. As we continue, you see a new marking, a bow tie shape appears, and on the side, we highlight the bow tie and double underline marking that appears as well under the Nosei / Mivne heading. What have we written there? So the bow ties introduce Shtei She'elois Shel Rami Bar Chama, two questions of Rami Bar Chama, and the questions begin with the words Hoyu Muchzokim. Now you'll notice that's what we double underline. Get Isha shenimseis b'mokoim she'eino mokom cheskoso. The get of a woman that a woman has, she's received a get. We're going to see there are somewhat unusual circumstances, like the get written on the arm of a slave. Later we'll see a get that's written on a tablet, on a maybe piece of metal. That belongs to her, but yet if the husband is giving it to her, so that the get is on something that is in a place that you wouldn't expect it to be, is it considered a get? Still, I know that our introductory examples and explanation are a bit abstract, so let's go right to the Gemara to see what we're really talking about. First of all, we open up with a long question marking. Take note of the fact that a large part of this long question is contained within bracketed sections. So the basic question isn't that long, but there's additional material contained within. The Gemara, Boi Rami Bar Chama, Hayu Muchzokin Be'eved Shehu Shelo. We know of a particular slave, it's known to be the man's slave. The get kosuv al yodoi, varehu yoitze mitachas yodo mahu. And there's a get written on his arm, on the slave's arm, and that slave is in the woman's domain, in her possession. She's living in a different location, and there's his eved. And she is claiming that my husband gave me the slave with the get written on it, and through that I was divorced. Do we believe that? Mahu. The question is presented with two sides. Aleph O Dilma Beis. Mi Amrina Aknu Akni Law. Do we say that the husband really did transfer ownership of the Eved to her, and she's believed? Now, here though, there's a very important point that we add, and she's believed without Ede Mesira. We're talking about a case where there were no witnesses that saw the handing over of the slave to the woman. So do we believe her by virtue of the fact that the slave is in her domain? Oy, Dilma Minav Sheil, or it could be that the slave walked over to her place on his own. True that he has a get written on his arm, but that doesn't mean that that the slave was presented as a divorce to the woman, though. Slave simply walked over on his own to the woman's domain. The Gemara, as we've marked it, you can see has a bracket, an angular brackets. If you use your bracket length indicator, you can skip down. After the angular brackets end, the Gemara says, "My Havi Allah." What is the din? Very simply, does the presence of the Eved in the woman's domain reflect an actual kinyan on the part of the husband to the wife, or He walked on his own. So let's skip and read the answer. Toshma, Diomar Eish Lakish, Hagoydros, Ein Lohen Chazaka. Before we even translate anything, it simply means that entities, animals, living things, slaves that have their own internal locomotion, and they're found in wherever they're found, that does not indicate that where they're found is to whom they belong. In other words, they walked on their own. Likewise, the slave, though it's in the woman's domain, we don't have witnesses that saw husband hand over a slave to woman. As far as we're concerned, the slave walked on his own, and she would not be considered divorced with her claim that my husband gave him to me. So we saw the question, and we see the answer. Now, let's go over the bracketed section. Omar Rava. Rava looks at Romi Bar Chama's question and says, the tepukle, why not conclude that it's not a get? Diksav shiyachol lizdayevu. It's a writing that could be easily tampered with. What he wrote the get on the arm of a slave, he can erase it. Let's imagine this: the get had a condition in, and then only with the fulfillment of the condition would the get be a get, and the condition was erased. So that's an example of ksav, a writing shiochusdat that could be tampered with, and any writing a get that's written in such a fashion, it's not a permanent type, indelible. Writing, that's not a kosher get. We have an internal brackets. This called the circular type brackets. We skip them for a moment. Lokashya, what Rava is raising as a problem is not a problem. Biksuvas kaka, it's a. A tattoo is in fact indelible, and therefore we can't void the get on the basis of being ksav shiochel is daif. Now let's go back over the internal brackets. Rava wanted to say that Romi Bar Chama's question is not a question to begin with, because there's no get in the first place. The get was written on the arm of the Eved, but the writing could be erased and tampered with. Iksav shochel is daif. So the Gemara asks, in the internal brackets, Ulurava kashimas nisin al hayad shel Eved, the Mishnah spoke about a get written on the arm of an Eved and said to kosher get. All that has to be done is that the Eved has to be given to the woman. The master of the Eved gives the Eved to the woman, it's a kosher get. Bishlama masnisin larava lo kashya. The Mishnah itself doesn't pose an objection to Rava, because the Mishnah's be'ede mesira v'rebi elozerhi. The Mishnah is talking about a case where there are witnesses that saw the Eved with the writing on his arm given over to the woman, and the ede mesira, the fact they have witnesses that saw it given over, and Rashi adds very importantly, and they read it, that's good enough. Elola Romi Bar Chama Kashya. But Romi Bar Chama's question was without Eide Mesira. And in the absence of Eide Mesira, you've got a problem of Ksav Shiyochel is Daif. The Gemara says, La Romi Bar Chama Nami Lo Kashya. Rava's question about Ksav Shiyochel is Daif is not a question on Romi Bar Chama. Why? Biksuvas kaka. We're talking about a tattoo writing. Well, hashtadas is lachi. Now that you've introduced the tattoo consideration, masnisanami lo tikshi. The Mishnah itself doesn't have to present a problem to Rava's concern. Biksuvas kaka. The Mishnah can also be speaking about a ksuvas kaka when and therefore the get written on the arm of the Eved doesn't present a problem, doesn't present any problem about a ksav sheyochel is daif. My havi Allah, what is the final ruling? Once again, you have an Eved, a slave, with a tattooed get on his arm, and the slave was known to have belonged to the husband, and we find the slave one day in the domain of the woman, and the woman is claiming, my husband gave me this slave with the tattooed get as a divorce. Is she considered divorced? And of course, there were no Eidei Mesira. Toshma, Yom Reish Lakish, HaGodros Ein Lohem Chazaka. Godros is a reference to animals. A person that is, let's say, has grabbed animals. He is not believed to say to, let's say, a previous owner who is claiming them as his own, but says, well, you know, the animals, you sold them to me, and that's how I'm in possession of them, when animals tend to wander away on their own. We aren't delving into this issue of animals and how you really gain possession of them. What we're presenting here simply is that those things that have their own built-in locomotion, like animals and slaves, the fact that they are found in someone's possession doesn't mean that they are the owners of it. And therefore, in the case of the slave known to have belonged to the husband, even though a get is written on his arm, does not mean that it was given to the woman as a get, but rather they wandered and they walked over to her place on their own. Boi Romi Barchamo. Hoyu muchzokin betavlo shehi shela. Veget kosuv oleha. It was a get that was carved out on a tablet that we knew, muchzokim, it was known to have belonged to the woman. And there's a get that's carved out on it. Vare hi yoitza mitachas yodoi mahu. And this tablet is in the possession of the husband, and he intends to divorce her with this. Mahu. Mi amrina naknuyak nisa le. Do we say that the wife had given it to him, had transferred ownership to him? Rashi, Rashi will actually explain something else as we go on in the Gemara. Let's continue then in the Gemara. Odilma lo yada laknuye. Or maybe we say that she doesn't know how to have the right mindset for transfer of ownership. And here we look at the Rashi. Lo yada laknuye, lo gomra umakne dovor she'en belibo losis matona gemura. She doesn't have full intention of giving to him something. If she doesn't have real full intention of giving this as a full-fledged gift to her husband, then he cannot use this to divorce her, because he is expected to give her something that is his, something that belonged to him, upon which he wrote the get, and then give it to her. But if it was never given to him with full intention, so he is not giving her something of his. The Gemara answers, and we have a marking scheme here. On the side under the Mivneh heading, triangles appear with the point facing up. These are Nisyonis Lifshot Shelas Romi Barchamal, attempts to answer his question, and the inverted triangle represents Dechios, rejections of that. This marking scheme, you'll see, continues to the top of Daf Chof Aleph. So let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Abaye, Toshma. We have a Tanaic source. There's a name that doesn't appear in the source, but the name is Reb Yehuda ben Bava, and it says, Af hu heyid al kfar katan, who is Reb Yehuda ben Bava, testified regarding a small village, Shoya Betzad Yerushalayim. It was located next to Jerusalem. V'hoya bo zokein echad, was an elderly man there. Zokin often refers to a sage. V'hoya malve l'chol b'nei hakfar, and used to extend loans to the members of that community. V'kesev v'ksav yodo v'achirim chusman, he would write out the text of the loan document, and others would sign it. U'bo ma'isil l'fnei chachomim v'chshiru, and this came to the attention of the elder scholars, and they said, this is acceptable. How is this acceptable? Now, with the shtar, when a person is holding the shtar, who's going to be holding the shtar? Obviously, the malve. The malve, when holding a shtar, has a right, obviously, to collect the loan, the cash from the borrower. In the event that the borrower doesn't pay cash, the lender can seize upon properties. And not only that, but he can seize upon properties that were sold by the borrower after the date of the loan. So it should be noted that when one extends a loan, he is thereby acquiring a lien, okay, a right to the borrower's properties. So we now ask, how is this arrangement kosher when the malve is the one who is writing the shtar? Ha bo'ino sefer makne v'leka. This is a very terse Gemara, but in writing documents, makne means the one who is giving over, one who is transferring ownership. In the case of a loan, think about this. Who is transferring ownership of the lands upon which the malva has a lien? It's the love, the borrower, that is granting rights to his lands. He's granting the rights to the lender. So, sefer makne means the one who is makne. In this case, it's the borrower that is makne, the shibud karkos, the lien to his properties, to the malve. Well, it's he who should be preparing the document. Velekon, that's not what is happening here. So how can the Chachamim machshir what took place in that Kfar Kotten Betzad Yerushalayim? Elolav, Mishum Damrinan, what we have to conclude is as follows. Aknuye makne lehu. That Zokin Echo, philanthropic minded, kind hearted elderly man, he was makne, he was granting ownership of the contracts that he was writing up to the borrowers. He was makne to them. So it in effect becomes the borrower's contract, the borrower's document. And then we'd be in fulfillment of sefer makne. So what do you see from here? We see from here this idea of aknuye makne being effective, and therefore, as far as Romi Bar Chama's question is concerned, the woman can be assumed to have been makne the tavla to the husband. The Gemara says there's no proof from here. Omar Rava, he rejects this. Umay Kusha, how does this resolve the question? Dilma, it could be, and we continue to the top of Daf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, Zokain Shiny the Yoda Latnie. The case of the Zokain, the elder, we said he was the term Zokain also means a sage. Rashi at the top is our reason for that. Rashi says Zokain Shiny the Yoda Latnie. Shu Chacham is a wise man, the Yoda, and he knows the halachas Sheino Shtar Limkein Makneilo Legamri. He knows that it won't be an effective document unless he, the lender, in this case, lender transfers ownership totally to the receiver. V'gomar daite umakne, and he has full intention and resolves thusly. Aval isha lo yoda kule hai. The woman isn't expected to know all of these details. V'lo gomar daite v'daita ela b'shein lo b'alma. The woman, in her case, she was loaning the tablet to the husband, but that's not good enough. And therefore, the case of the tablet remains would remain in question, not resolved from the incident with the Kfar Kotten Betzad Yerushalayim. Elo Marova Mehocha. Let's resolve Romi Bar Chama's question from the following. The following is a source dealing with a contract, a loan document, and there is a guarantor that signs on to the loan. So you not only have a loan document, but you also have a guarantor. He's called an orev that signs on. In this case, though, the orev's name appears after the signatures on the loan document. The orev is a guarantor, so that means that the lender, in the event that the borrower doesn't pay, the lender will go to the guarantor. The source will tell us that he collects from properties that the orev himself, the guarantor, is in possession of, but he cannot collect from properties that the guarantor may have sold subsequent to the loan. And why not? Because you don't have witnesses on the guarantor. The witnesses signed the basic loan document, then they left, they're out of the picture. Then the guarantor came and signed his name on it. So public awareness that this guy is functioning as a guarantor doesn't exist, and therefore would be unjust to subject the public to being the victims of a lien that the lender would have on the guarantor's properties. So, therefore, the lender, cannot collect from properties that the guarantor may have sold after the loan. But one thing is clear, and that is that the lender can seize the properties held by the guarantor right now, currently in possession of. What gives the lender the right to seize the properties of the guarantor? It must be that the guarantor was mishabed, his properties. Mishabed means to present them as a source of collection, creating a lien on those properties as long as he is in possession of them. So the guarantor, as we said before, he is in effect transferring a potential ownership of his properties to the lender. Let's read the Gemara. So Rava says, if you want to conclude Rami Bar Chama's question regarding the woman and being the hakno of the tablet to the husband, listen to this. Orev hayotze lachar chitum shtoros. The guarantor's name who appears after the signature on the loan document. So the signatures validating, confirming that a loan took place, that's as far as the borrower himself is concerned. The signatures don't apply to the orev. Therefore, goyvim minichosim b'nei chorin. The lender has a right to collect from the orev's currently possessed properties, not properties that he sold off to others. And the Rashi features like the main point of this proof, and we've dashed underlined it in the narrow lines, the upper part of the Rashi commentary, where it says, v'heich nichsei orev hazeh mishtabdin bo. How do the guarantor's properties become bound to him? Bo'inon sefer makne. We require the document to be prepared by the makne. Ilav di akne nihale malve lo'orev. Unless we can assume that the malve who received the document from the love, he granted ownership of the document to the orev v'chosam, and then the orev signed, so he was signing a document that in effect was his, because the malveh transferred it to the orev, and then the orev gave it back to the lender. What do we see from here? Bottom line, we see that aknuye makne, that works. The Gemara rejects this. Omar Avashi, my kusha, dilma gavra, shiny, the yoda, laknuye, maybe men are different. You'll say, how are men different from women? It could be that men are involved much more often in commerce, and therefore they know these points of law, and therefore you can't bring proof from this case of the Orev HaYotze L'achar Chitum Shtoros to the case of the woman who would have had to makne the tavla to her husband. Elo Omar Rav Ashi. Mehocha. We can conclude Rami Bar Chama's question from the following source. Isha Kaisevis Es Gita. A woman writes her own divorce document, which is something that I'm sure you've guessed till now, that's something the husband ought to be doing. Well, the woman writes up a get for each kesev shovro, and the man, he writes up the receipt. The receipt has to do with a woman that sought out her ksuba payment. When she gets the payment, she writes a receipt and gives it to the husband. So who is writing the receipt? Who's expected to write the receipt? The woman is expected to write the receipt, and she gets her payment. But here it says the man writes the receipt. Yet, there is no problem over here with the woman writing her get. Let's just focus on that for the time being. With the woman writing her get, why is that not a problem? She'en kiyum haget ela b'chosmav. Fulfillment or the establishment of the get, being a get, is only upon its signing. So what really took place over here? So Rashi says, Kosevet says Gita, the woman writes up the get, umakne le lebal. She then transfers ownership, she gives it to the husband, v'yohiv lo nihalo, and then he will give it to her. Rashi continues, v'ish kosevet shovro, the man writes up the receipt, piron haksuba shepora umakne liisha. Then he gives that receipt to the woman. And then she has witnesses sign on it and then gives it back to the husband. What do we see from this? We see that we can rely on a woman in being makne the item, the get, to the husband, and it will be an effective means of divorce. And you can see black on white in the Tosfos Rid that from here, Shma Mino Shigamu Isha Yoidas Laknos, that a woman also knows how to and what mindset is required when you're dealing with this issue of being makna, of transferring ownership. He adds an interesting point that figures more in the realm of halacha lemaisa. The Tosfos Rid says, "Umehacha mochiach shitzor hasoifer lahaknas hanyor v'diyov alkumus labal kedei sheyeh hakol shelo." When a standard get is being written up, it's being written up by a scribe. So the scribe has a parchment, and he has ink, he has the quill. All of that belongs to the sofer, to the scribe. But the halacha requires that the get is that of the husband's. It belongs to the husband who gives it to his wife. So the Tosfos Rid is telling us that sofrim, that scribes, have to makne what they are preparing. They have to makne it to the husband so that it becomes his in fulfillment of the requirement of venosan law, that he must give something of his to her. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.